Now we return you to the VidPi Technology Showcase. VidPi is the Visually Impaired Data Processors International. It's the computer-related affiliate of the American Council of the Blind. And if you're interested in Main Menu, chances are very good that you would benefit from being involved in VidPi. If you would like to know more, then you can visit the website at www.acb.org/vidpi. That's www.acb.org/vidpi.
So my name is Rob Sanders. I'm from ViewPlus Technologies. We manufacture the Tiger Braille Embosser. Actually, I shouldn't call it a Braille Embosser. That's far from all of its capabilities. Before I do my... How long do I have? 10 minutes?
10 minutes.
That's all I get? Okay. I brought a lot of fun stuff to pass around. You want to be my my TA, Frank, and just start passing things? Just spread it around, I guess. There's all sorts of... Or is that...
I guess I can just have people do it, because that might be a little harder. I have some packets of information... And some samples. Let's see, here's the samples. It's embossed on paper, actually. How many people have used Braille embossers before?
Yep.
Oh, thanks. Okay, I didn't want to ask you some of those. Okay, so if you've used a Braille embosser before, totally forget about what a Braille embosser does, okay?
The Tiger, how many people kind of know how an ink printer works?
Yeah.
Okay. So the Tiger is much more like that ink printer than it is a brailler, okay? Just like an ink printer or an inkjet will spray ink on a page, or a laser printer will, you know, kind of heat toner onto a page, using any, you know, standard WYSIWYG technology, what is seen on the screen is printed on the page. The Tiger is using solenoids just like a Braille embosser, but it's punching the page, okay? It's a WYSIWYG printer for Windows. It prints from any Windows application. Whatever is on that screen, if it's graphics, if it's text, whatever, any application that can print to an ink printer can emboss on the Tiger. Any application that you can access the text and change the font can get Braille. So applications like Microsoft Word and Microsoft Excel and any graphics program you want, those are all now fully accessible. To handle colors and contrast and things like that, because there's a lot of information there, the Tiger will interpret color using variable height technology. So as colors get darker, the Tiger will punch deeper into the page. So those folks who have samples, if you feel things like shading or contrast, that's just color differences. That's just different darknesses of color. Does that kind of make sense? a lot of going on. Yeah. This is state-of-the-art technology. I'm glad there are this many people here that have either... Did everyone know what they were getting into? Did everyone come to see the Tiger or just hear about technology in general?
No.
Yes, no? Okay, I hear technology in general. We'll go with that one. The Tiger is most certainly technology. It's much different than a regular brailler. It does not require things like Duxbury. You can print from any application. The Tiger does have an embosser emulation mode on the front panel. You just click a key and you can now connect your Braille note or your Braille light or print those old Duxbury files from an old version of Duxbury. But if somebody emails you a Word file or a PowerPoint presentation and you don't want to lose those graphics or that text formatting or whatever, we also have a text-to-Braille translator that works in Windows, so if you want Braille, which some folks in this room might just have a thing for feeling Braille, you can translate it using Duxbury's translation engine to grade 1 or grade 2 in most Windows applications. I say most because things like PDFs and other Adobe software and some things like that treat text in a very funky way that we can't get to it. So basically, in a very quick nutshell, the Tiger is a Windows embosser. It's a WYSIWYG, what you see is what you get embosser. We can translate text to Braille, and we can give you all of the graphics and formatting that are in those documents. So basically, instead of getting a long, drawn-out text description of all that fun stuff that everyone else gets to play with, you get the same information in its original form with all the color and the contrast and the shading that everyone else is getting, and you get it at the same time. Same file, same information, same form in the same time. Is that kind of a cool idea, or? Yes.
Can the size of the Braille cell be changed? The question was, can the size of the Braille cell be changed?
You know, this tape's going to sound like Frank had a lot of questions today. The short answer is yes. The long answer is yes, and let me explain how that happens. The Tiger, since it's a Windows printer, recognizes certain unique TrueType fonts and will substitute Braille cells for certain fonts. So there are some fonts that we actually provide with the unit that if you send them to an ink printer, will ink like regular print characters. So if you wanted a universally accessible document, you could have it print on like an HP inkjet or whatever as regular print characters. If you sent that same exact file to the Tiger without translating it, without changing anything, it will actually emboss as Braille. So the Braille cell can get smaller if you use a different font. We have three. We have some that use kind of micro Braille, kind of like the Japanese Braille. So the cell can be smaller. Beyond that, the Braille does not get smaller. That's a pretty technical answer, I guess. I hope that satisfies your curiosity on that.
For people that have diabetes and can't use the regular Braille cell and they don't like, this giant Braille or whatever, they could have something in between?
So people with, diabetic retinopathy, they could adjust it. They wouldn't just have to do jumbo Braille. They could adjust it to their taste.
Do you have a sample you can look at in front of you?
No.
Did you get one?
I'll run one back.
Okay. Feel our Braille cell. Okay, our dot, because we can print graphics at such high resolution and such high clarity, we use a smaller dot size. So center to center, our Braille cell is the exact same dimension as a standard Braille cell, but the actual dot is smaller and it's also sharper. So I would say without changing that Braille cell at all, there was a gentleman that came by the booth just a few minutes ago that has diabetes, and he just exploded about just how great our Braille is to read. Let alone, the graphics and our ability to print from Windows applications. He just liked the Braille.
And we have a question up front here.
Give me a sample.
Oh, there's a sample for you. Did you have a question, Rod?
Yeah, I'm just trying to... You're talking about embossing. I'm trying to see your sample. Does that mean you're actually doing graphics embossing?
Yes, we're doing... Well, let me take a step back. Most folks who first take their first pass at looking at our technology say, oh, okay... You're doing graphics, or oh, okay, you do Braille and graphics. It's an easy thing. It's a human thing to kind of try and just put this in an existing slot in technology, and the major overwhelming point gets missed if we do that. Okay, who has a pie chart? Can anyone feel a pie chart in front of them? Maybe. I might have handed those. I'm not sure if those. And there's some in these packets, which I'm hogging up front, and I didn't give them to. Here's some pie charts too. Anyway, let me make a point with this document.
I'm sorry, what's that? Yes.
Yeah, I think we had the brain or Texas.
I only have a few of these pie charts, so if you've looked at it and you want to pass it around, it'd be great. And I have a billion of these examples at the booth, so if you don't get to see one and you want to know what the heck I was talking about, please come by. And it is in the packet. Yeah, I think you might actually have the only packet. Sorry, I didn't get an assistant today, so I'm doing two roles. Imagine a regular document, okay? Now, I can tell you, like a spreadsheet of information, okay? You can get it text with a screen reader. You can get it text on audio tape. You can get it text with a Braille display. Okay, there are many, many, many ways to get it textual information. Okay, but feel the pie chart. Okay, that information is just data. I could give that to you in a list. I could give you a table of items and their percentage in that pie chart. And a lot of our society would say, great, you have all the information. And if you feel even the table around that information, the way that it's grouped, there's information being expressed there, and below that in that pie chart, that's the same information, but it's expressed in a completely different way. This is not a Brailler and graphics embosser. Yes, it is, but it's more of an information machine. Okay, you have access to the text and graphics as they're expressed to everybody else. It's more of an information, a universal information access embosser. Question, yes?
There was a question in the back, I think.
Jan, I think, right?
Okay, go ahead.
How did you get the grade 2 in the text and the graphic?
That's a good question. I mentioned very briefly, and I am trying to pack a lot of information into this 10 minutes, and I really, if you get interested at all, if any of this makes even a little bit of sense, please. please come by the booth. I'll spend, you know, hours chatting with you. I'm really trying to get a lot across in a little bit of time. Grade 2 in the graphic is done using our Braille to text, or our text to Braille translator. We buy the guts of Duxbury, the translation engine from Duxbury, and we wrap a software application around that that can look into most Windows applications. And within our translator, you can tell it, hey, I want grade 1 or hey, I want grade 2. For sighted folks that are making that information, you can even tell it if you want to see dots or if you want to see the ASCII code on the screen. And actually, if you're really savvy and you know ASCII, the ASCII code for Braille, you can actually input the ASCII code directly into Windows applications and use an ASCII font and it'll emboss it. So if you know the ASCII character for those grade 2 cells, you can actually key it in by hand.
And Rob, why don't you take a minute here just to go ahead. If some people do want some of these packets you've got here that have packets of samples, maybe you can raise your hand and Rob can get those to you.
Okay, sure.
There, all right?
Can you tell the price of the printer?
The price.
Yes, that's always a fun question, isn't it? Right now we only sell an institutional model.
Institutional model for?
It prints up to 17 inches wide. And it sells for $9,750.
$97.50, folks.
30-day money-back guarantee. If you don't like it, send it back. You'll be the very first person out of the couple hundred we sold that didn't want it.
It also comes with a full-year replacement warranty, so if anything breaks, which, you know, things do happen with technology, very rarely, but they do, we overnight you a new one, no questions asked. Comes with all the phone support, email support, and if someone's in the area, hands-on training support that you could possibly want. But yes, for our institutional model, that's what we've got going on. I can't talk about it, but that's a really good idea that I think we might have already had.
And one more on the price?
Oh, I'm sorry. The price for our current unit is $97.50.
Thank you very much.
So I'll just take credit card orders right now if people are interested.
Rob,
oh, that's a great question, okay? I know the price is big, but you get what you pay for. You can print from anything from 4 inches skinny to 17 inches wide and from thin, you know, actual copy paper. And I've done all of this. It all works, I swear. Anything from regular copy paper, you know, office paper, laser paper, to like thick plastic, vellum plastic.
Very good. Thank you very much. Thank you, everyone. My name is John Dobbins. I'm a pharmacist from Connecticut, and I'm founder of Millennium Compliance Corporation. We're a company that develops medication compliance devices, and the product that we're going to be talking about today is called the Talking RX. The Talking RX is a product that I developed. I have 2 patents on it, and I've been working on it for 10 years, since 1992. I came about this idea while doing some counseling, working with patients who had diabetes and retinopathy and were given prescriptions that they could not read. And while I was in Circus in Las Vegas back in 1992, I was at a kiosk and saw talking greeting cards. And those cards back then had a 10-second chip and a very poor quality speaker, and had a microphone that the message could only be recorded by the person at the kiosk. And I walked by it and turned around, and the Ford light bulb went off in my head, and I said, you know, this is something that can be adapted and be useful for people who are print unable. Took me about 4 years to get up the gumption to walk into an attorney's office and pay him about $400 an hour to patent the item. But I had several drawings, and we came up with a device which contained a 2560 DX chip, very high-quality chip, that we incorporated into a board on a device that's about an inch and a half wide. We did some focus groups, and our first product actually was a cap on top of the vial. And we took the product to several focus groups and learned that people don't put caps on top of the vials all the time. I had a mechanism for attaching the product to the prescription vial, but it just didn't work. The thing fell over all the time. The medication spilled out. It just wasn't aesthetically pleasing. So went back to the drawing board, and 2 years later came up with our current product, which essentially is a cup-like device with electronics in it, which fits on the bottom of the prescription container. Inside that cup-like device contains a recessed recording button, a microphone, and the battery compartment. And we provide you with a stylus. And how many seniors do we have in this country? 35 million? Do the numbers. Quite a few prescriptions per senior. Also, look at our diabetic population. All right, our diabetic population is on an average of probably 10 to 12 meds themselves. We have 17 million diabetics in the country. Probably about 6 or 7 million of those are undiagnosed, so we have about 10 that we're treating. Look at the numbers of visually impaired that we have in the country and the numbers of blind. If you look at the statistics, there's about 1.2 million legally blind and vision impaired. Put a zero behind it, about 12 million. A lot of those people are diabetics, a lot of them are seniors, and they're on a lot of medications, and they cannot identify their medications, and they cannot read the material that's on the prescription label or the patient leaflet that is given to them. A product like mine can offer that to you by having a prescription message recorded to identify the medication and give you proper directions. Yes, we have a question in the back there. Okay.
How would you handle blister packs?
Well, in a situation like that, your pharmacy should hopefully be able to purchase the medication either loose for you and put it in the proper size container, or they can pop the tablets out of that blister pack, put it in the prescription container, and then label it appropriately. Patients ask me about eye drops and insulin vials. They fit inside a standard prescription container, which fits on the bottom of the Talking RX. So eye drops can be handled that way. We have a problem with ointments and things that are in tubes. It doesn't currently work for that as of yet. How do you record a message on the Talking RX? I had mentioned that. Why don't I hand out some of these sample components, Frank? And as we do that, I'm sure there will be some further questions.
I'll follow you around
questions.
With a mic here as we do that. Then.
No problem. Okay. We'll walk around.
All right.
I actually have some base components, which I'm going to hand out. I'll hand out a couple per row. These are the actual plastic outer shells. If you feel the outer shell, it's ultrasonically welded, the top and the bottom. Inside of the device, some of them have, if I've given you two units, pass one over. Inside of the device, there is a very expensive 2-cent rubber O-ring. That is what holds it onto the vial. All right? It's just like the Challenger.
Except we hope it works.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So here are a couple of components as well. And you know what? I didn't bring enough with me, so I'm going to pass out one for the remaining rows. There's one. I knew I should have brought more units with me. I have to apologize for the people in the back room.
That's what you get for sitting in the back.
Okay. Also, as far as the how to program it, I also have a few styluses, but you can use your own stylus from your Braille and stylus as well, Slate and stylus, excuse me. I'm also passing out a couple of the interior component units here. The smaller round items are actually the inner core piece to the unit as well. And, okay. And we have electronics which drop into it. I do have two vials here which have a complete unit taken apart, which I'll be happy to pass around the room and let anybody look at. Yep.
A couple of years ago, I was interested in inventing this kind of thing, and one of the things that a doctor's told me was that patient compliance, in other words, the the problems with patients that are elderly not taking the right amount of drugs at the right time was really a big thing. And I did some research, and they said it was up to 50%.
That's correct.
And so it's not only the time that it has to be taken, but once that little beeper goes off, sometimes you'd almost have to have a thing that would ensure that the one tablet was taken out of the vial and the cap was put back on. And I thought, for people that have learning disabilities or memory loss, a lot of elderly do have memory loss.
Yep.
This requires some.
Well, this is just one component of, actually, we'll call it adherence, not compliance, because adherence donates a relationship, a condescending relationship between the healthcare provider and the patient. Really, we use the term adherence now, which is where the healthcare provider and the patient agree to a certain plan. This can be part of the plan using a device like this. There are other methods which can be used as well to help with adherence, whether it's a calendar on the refrigerator, whether it's another type of alarm, which you can, a watch with a multi-alarm watch to remind as well. There's no perfect system. If somebody invented it, it's probably a nurse following you around giving you your medications, to make sure that you've swallowed them.
All right. Thank you very much, John. And we'll give you a couple seconds to go finish passing things out or collecting what you need to, and we'll go on to the next person. The cost?
$15.
$15. Okay. Okay, we've got to move on to the next person. Oh, booth number?
66.
Booth number 66. Thank you very much, John.
Okay, hello everyone. Thank you, Frank, for giving me the opportunity to talk to the group here today. My name is Christian Landry. I'm from VisuAid. The company is based a little bit outside Montreal, Quebec, Canada. VisuAid is in business since about 14 years, and we are very much involved in developing assistive innovation for visually impaired people. We basically, over the last years, developed the Victor Reader product line. So Victor Reader is a line of digital talking book players that consists of three different players, and on which I will explain a little bit the difference between one and the other. So basically, where it comes from, the need to have digital talking books, it comes from the fact that while the digital talking books will be probably made, well, depending on the countries, but will probably be made on CD. And since the technology of CD is all around us, this is something very common, that was obvious that sooner or later something would replace the cassette tapes as talking books. The main advantage of having a digital talking book on CD versus a tape, first, is the fact that the whole book, no matter if it's a 5-hour book or a 30-hour book, will be contained on a single CD. So no, it doesn't need now to have several tapes. Only one CD contains a whole book, and it'll be up to 50 hours of audio compressed on those CDs. So that could be several books being related to each other. So one book, one CD instead of several tapes. The second thing is that the books in that format on CD are and will be recorded in a special standard, in a special format, which refers to the DAISY format. So some of you may have heard about DAISY. This is an international standard of how to record a talking book on a CD to make it completely accessible for the blind. So being completely accessible means that while a user, when a book is done in that DAISY standard, a user is able to navigate in the book, so browse into the different chapters, move from one chapter to the other, go down in a chapter to look what are the different divisions or section in my chapter. This book will also allow users to browse from one page to the other. So on the unit, for instance, you have a button that is a go to page function. So if I'm at page 5 and for any good reason I need to reach page 95, I press the go to page 95 on the numeric keypad, and then I press play. I'm right there, being the next page or the last page, because it's digital and the whole book is contained on the CD. So it's very, very fast and very easy to reach the information that I need. So since the books are made in a specific format, which is a DAISY format, this book cannot be read by a regular and a standard CD-ROM CD player like the one that we have at home, because those CD player doesn't have the built-in software to recognize this information and to allow you to operate the different commands like going to a page and or browsing from one chapter to the other. So this is the reason why Visuaid has developed a complete line of digital talking book players specially made for this format of talking books on CD. Our line consists of three different products. First, we developed 2 years and a half ago the Victor Reader Pro, which is a model that is completely intended for students and professionals. It's very small and light, about just 2 pounds, and there you have numeric keypad on it, because you have the ability to dial a page number, and especially students, they really need to go back and forth in their books. They do not listen from page one to the last page. You really need to navigate in the book to grab some piece of information, and this is a perfect unit for students and professionals. The Victor Reader Pro can run on AC power or on a rechargeable battery that gives up to 6 hours of autonomy. So this is a really small and powerful unit. It also gives the user the ability to bookmark. So bookmarking is the when I want to get back to a specific passage later on, what I do is I place virtually a bookmark that will stay in the memory of the player for as long as I don't delete it. And a bookmark actually is a specific position in a book. So the way it works is when I listen to a book, I decide if I can insert up, you know, 5 or 10 or 20 bookmarks. When I will insert this book again, even if it's 3 years later, the player will recognize that book and will go into the memory to bring back the bookmarks I inserted one day in that book, like if it was just the day before. So, and the memory can hold up to 4,000 different bookmarks. So it could be 4,000 bookmarks in one book, or one bookmark in 4,000 books, or anything in between. So this is very powerful. So the Victor Reader Pro is a small, portable, and very powerful unit. The second unit was developed and launched last year. It's the Victor Reader Classic. The Pro is made for students, and as you know, leisure readers do not have the same needs as students. Most of the leisure readers are in the U.S., as in every country, are older citizen. A great part of them is older citizen, and they don't need all the buttons that they have on the Victor Reader Pro. They don't need as many functions. So we completely redesigned a new unit, the Victor Reader Classic, to fit the needs of leisure readers. So we have fewer keys, larger buttons, the controls are rotating knobs, big knobs, easy to identify and very intuitive to use. And the Victor Classic has a major difference in terms of the CD drive. As the Pro for students is using a tray, much like in computers, the Classic, in order to make it very easy for leisure readers, use a slot drive, so much like in cars today. So the CD comes in automatically and comes out gently, so it's very easy to use. So there's no external moving parts, so that makes it even easier to use for leisure readers. And we recently launched the Victor Reader Soft, the third one in the product line. Victor Reader Soft is basically a software application doing the same functionalities as the hardware player, the Pro and the Classic, but on your PC for the one who prefers to use and to read digital talking books on their PC. So they would still use the talking books on CD, inserted into the drive, and the Victor Soft would allow them to navigate and insert bookmarks, and they're all the same functionalities. But since the Victor Soft is running on a PC, you have some few more advanced features that you cannot have on the hardware players. As, for instance, you have on the Soft the find function. So at any time, I can find a book, find a word in my book. I just open that window, type my word, and the Victor Soft is searching for that word in my book. If it's not the right place that I want to be, I just press F3 for find next, and it's going to the next place. This thing is not possible on the hardware players, of course, because I have no keyboard to type my word.
Phrases too?
Not phrases. If it's the word that begins your phrase, that it's okay. But you have to type either a word or a series of words, and then you can ask if it's two or three words. You can ask if it's the match case exactly or not. You can decide if you want to make your search in the complete text or just in titles. If in case you're looking for a chapter title, for example, you decide if you go up and down or in the search. Another function is that you have the ability to insert text notes. with the Victor Reader Soft. So you open a window, you can type your notes, and then these notes will be memorized at this specific position in the book. It's like a bookmark on which you can write things. You write your notes, and at any time you can come back on the text notes and edit the text note to modify them or to read the text note. So these are the kind of things that we can do with the Soft and not with the other ones, because there's no keyboard with the other hardware players. I have 2 minutes. Questions?
Question. Yeah, I got one right here.
Okay, yep. I'll run down towards you real quick here, Robert.
Here I am.
Okay.
Go
ahead. I understand that your Victor Pro can play, if I have a CD and I've got some MP3 files on it, I understand it'll play those, correct?
It will.
What I thought.
Your files has to be directly in the root and not in folders.
Yeah.
This is just a little difference. But yes, the Victor readers are using a standard CD-ROM drive that will read any kind of commercial music CDs as MP3 CDs as well. Yes.
Another question?
I have two questions.
Okay, I'll get over here with the mic. Here we are.
First of all, where are books available that the pro player can read? In other words, where can you buy, or where are these books distributed? And secondly, are they planning to develop a machine by which you can also record in this format?
Okay, first question is where can we get the books?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the books are not yet distributed in the U.S., but the first organization who will start distributing books in that format is Recording for the Blind and Dyslexics, and they will launch nationally the digital talking book service in this September, coming September, October, so that's just around the corner. Eventually, National Library Service, they will go into the digital, talking books, and they know about the standard, the DAISY standard, they know about our product, and they know that they will go into digital, but they are still investigating and what form of digital will they use. Will it be CD or minidisc or compact flash? So they are still in that process, actually. So it will take some more years for National Library Service to offer books in that format. Your second question was?
Will you make a model in which, like, for example, if I'm having a reader read to me and I like to be able to record a disc, a book that I'm having read privately, record in that format, is there going to eventually be a player that
may be done, but not in the near future. Because you have to record audio, and if you want it to be a DAISY book, it takes a special software to mark the pages and the chapters. So this is what we call the indexation process, and this is actually not intended for users, but more for organization with technicians, because this is how they work the book before releasing it. But sooner or later, there will be a simple tool for users to make their own DAISY books.
And thank you very much, Christian.
The Pro and the Classic are both the same price, $495. The Soft is $150.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
It's time for us to log off for another week. On behalf of all of the Main Menu team, I'm Jonathan Mosen, inviting you to join us again for another Main Menu.